Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric, and who's that sitting next to me? Well, that's you, listener. Listener, have you gone to the bathroom yet? Just to make sure, like, we don't have... This isn't a bus that has one of the toilets on it or anything. Like, matter of fact, if you excrete on this bus, I'm pretty sure your DNA is held for indeterminate purposes. Also, all your skin cells and hair cells and stuff. But, you ever not made it to a place where you're like, you know, I gotta use the bathroom, and you're like, oh, well, if I can just make it home, it's like 20 minutes away and stuff like that, like, and not made it? You ever not made it?
I wish you could see the look on my face.
I could hear the look on your face.
This is the moment where we need to do this in video. No, I've never had that happen, Eric.
One time when I was a young boy, I was dating this girl, and she still lived with her parents. And
you know, I forgot about this story.
And we were like 20 something. Anyways, long story short, she made some spaghetti with some red sauce that my tummy did not like. Something about the spices in it or whatever. Anyways, I tried to make it home and was fighting the good fight. I was struggling. And the way from her house to my house was like 20 to 30 minutes. And the hills really, they messed with your boy's tummy. And I made it almost to my house. And then the red light flashed. Like, this is it. You're doing it where you got to do it. And I don't want to have to deal with that in my car. So I pulled over, and the only thing I was near was a cemetery, and I pooped next to / a little bit on somebody's grave.
I can't believe you would just put that out there.
Well, first off, I want everyone to know, like, it's okay. Listen, I've struggled with tummy troubles for years. I'm actually working right now with my doctor to try to figure out, like, specifically why that's the case. Looking at, like, you know, all the stuff that, you know, your microbiome and things like that, that, like, make up how you feel and stuff. And it's important. It's important to look at that and make sure that you're living as healthy a life as you can. But also, sometimes it's okay if, like, you know, swing and a miss, right? And we do the best we can. We're just people trying to push through this world and, you know, fight the good fight, if you will.
Yeah, you have those things happen. That's the thing that happens to some people. But you don't just, like, throw out to the internet that this one time you shit on a tombstone.
I didn't do it on the tombstone. It was just next to the grave. I wasn't holding it for stability. This wasn't like me shitting on, you know, Aunt Bertha. Like, this wasn't like a pet cemetery or anything, too. This isn't like, you know, here lies Kojo.
Are you afraid that, like,
my poo would come back to get me? Yeah.
Yeah, what's the significance of it being a pet cemetery?
that this is one of those situations where it's ancestral grounds, and by pooing on it, my poo comes alive and tries to get me.
I don't know what you actually said, but it sounded like ancestral grounds.
Ancestral grounds? This was Indian ancestral ground. Okay.
Okay, yeah, but it came out of incest. I do like that it's
ancestral grounds. Yeah, which adds a whole other layer, right? Listener, we hope that you fight a good fight if you got tummy troubles. Masker, there's a lot of kind of fighting the good fight in our episode today. And in this case, I thought she was going to make it.
Hate you.
I thought she was gonna
I hate
get
you.
Home
because your equation of fighting the good fight and what happened to Nabara, she is the tombstone that got shat on.
So here's the reason. Let's backtrack for a moment. Metzger.
I cried so hard.
We are obviously talking about, this is an anime podcast where we talk about the latest and greatest in anime. Not just how we shit on people's graves, but also how we get shat on by Japanese film producing studios. So, Metzger, we're talking about this episode of Jujutsu Kaisen. Can I get a quick synopsis of what's happening in this episode?
We finally get the plot development that we've always wanted for Nobara, but she probably dies.
Oh, she most assuredly dies.
Nope. She doesn't. And by okay. She doesn't, I mean nobody knows.
Okay.
There's something that happens later on in one of the mangas where they maybe hint at the fact that they've recovered her body and she's kind of just maybe in a coma. I don't know. I haven't actually read it, but
I mean, it was out of all the potential. Let's back up for a second. We're in a fight, right? And it's so when we last left off, it's Itadori.
All right,
and
let's pick things up where we left off.
Yeah.
We have just rebounded from the death of Nanami.
Yep.
Itadori and Mahito are fighting. We learn that Mahito has a trump card, which is that he has divided himself into two and that he has found Nobara and plans to use her to wreck Yuji even more. So the Nobara-Mahito clone fight begins.
So we get a simultaneous fight, Itadori and Nobara separately fighting Mahito. And I mean, it goes surprisingly well for Nobara because she's fighting the clone who doesn't have the
actually,
ability to touch
no,
her.
No, even then, actually, because of the way that her technique works, she is theoretically the best person to fight Mahito.
Yeah.
This is like a Pokemon match.
She's the Blastoise versus the Charizard. Yeah.
And that's why when he's explaining to her that her technique doesn't work on the clone, because in the clone, there's no soul.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that she would be wanting to manipulate and the thing that she would be wanting to, like, curse is not there. But what happens when a hammer hits metal?
Metal bends.
It resonates.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. It bends. I don't know. I'm over here with just a couple blacksmithing classes. I think I know a thing. No, you're right.
That's heated metal.
Shh. Metzger. My other answer would have been, it sparks.
It sparks.
Charizard, go. Pikachu, weapons free.
It really is. It really is a Blastoise and a Charmander.
We're going to get stuck on the fucking Pokemon war thing again. She's able to resonate her technique in a way that affects the Mahito that Itadori's fighting.
And she doesn't even know it. Like, she's just kind of like scaling her attacks, like dropping nails, and then when she actually like performs the resonance technique, she feels her cursed energy explode very far away.
Yeah. And she's like, ah, that's cool. And figures out that, like, oh, okay, so this one doesn't have the touch soul manipulate power.
Yep. And so then Mahito goes, I'm gonna run.
Yay! And she chases after him.
And that's a mistake.
Itadori's beating the shit out of him, taking advantage of this. The guy separates from him, and then we get the moment where everyone thinks they're going to combine again. And what actually happens is that they run past each other, and the one that has the soul manipulation powers slaps Nobara in the face. And apparently the good clean slap in the face is a strong one, But the line that he says is, you know, it took more than just a touch to break our businessman boy.
Seems like if your character or like something inside of you, so I'm assuming it's character, is strong enough, your soul can withstand a single touch.
And that's where I was. I thought she was going to make it. I thought she was fighting the good fight. I thought that there was way. She is such a powerful force in the world. She is such, even from like a young age, which is where we get to. They do her backstory of her, you know, growing up in this middle of nowhere town, standing up for her friend and like beating up boys. Very, very strong sense of self, even from a young age. So I thought, given this information, given her backstory, things she can kind of hold on to and latch onto, her friendship, this older woman that, like, you know, she connected with really well, this idea that like they're all three going to be united again. I thought there was something there, a safe space that she could hold on to, and that would give her soul the strength to kind of fight back against Mojito's soul manipulation. However, that was not the case.
The part where I really lost it and they gave me hope was when it flashed to the older girl that meant so much to them as children, and she's pulling an all-nighter at work. She's talking about getting married, having children, and she reminisces on Nabara. And she says, like, I hope she's doing well right now. And for some reason, my mind was like, oh, okay. So they're, like, soul bonded in some way or another. And that's going to, like, that resonance is going to happen in a different way. And it's going to give Nabara strength. And she's going to be, oh, nope, her face exploded.
And they're talking about it at roughly the same time. Because the woman says, hey, there's a terrorist attack in Shibuya, whatever the name of this season. And so that they're saying, like, hey, there's a terrorist attack going on right now. Have you heard about this? And she's like, no, I'm doing my deadline thing. I thought I'd be something, yada, yada, yada. And it's felt like there was a connection there, that there was something to hold on to. However, we zoom back to her holding her face, and then she pulls her hand away. Her face looks normal, but we at this point know that we were in a white space. Our friend's there. A chair's knocked over where our friend once was. The soul has been violated in Mojito's kind of way, and her face just fucking explodes. We don't get to see it. This is one of the ones that they are actually less graphic for, unlike our businessman. Because businessman just fucking exploded. But for her, it's away from the camera. And it's a softer one. It's not a big one. It's one of the softer Mojito interactions. But, I mean, blood explodes from her face and she collapses, and Itadori's face kind of tells the whole story that, at least in his mind, he believes she is dead. And Mojito's not dead. Mojito got, I think his clone got punched real good, real hard.
Yeah, but, yeah. I love Yuji just scream, like, shouting, you're in my way, and just absolutely decimating that clone.
Me when going Black Friday shopping.
Oh my god.
I wanted the new Spider-Man game.
So you couldn't just get that on digital?
It was discounted. Okay. And it was in a state that doesn't have sales tax, so cha-ching. Metzger, so that's the long and short of it.
Yeah, I really want to know if she lives.
I feel like that information is going to be held from us a dissatisfyingly long amount of time. They've killed off so many people, though. You can't just have a show of main characters, right? You have to have secondary characters. You have to have people with which they interact. A world around them with which, you know, their first character, their main character status holds any weight. And they have just done away with a lot of characters this season. But even though we've killed off a lot of characters this season, listener, you're still alive, I guess. And you're still with us this season. I hope you're alive. If not, I hope you didn't shit yourself to death on the way home. God.
Wow.
That's terrible. But if you are doing your business next to a tombstone, first off, you know, make sure the light on your phone is turned way down so that they don't spot you. Second off,
yes, shit on the tombstones in the dark.
Second off,
this is the ritual.
If you like need something, like this is gonna be a long one, and you're kind of like back up against the tombstone, and you need something to check out, well, that's Anime Tour Bus on Instagram, anime_bus on Twitter, and animetourbus.wordpress.com. Hey Metzger, we also have somebody else fighting the good fight. And that is our girl who's trying to romance a boy.
What happens in this episode?
Metzger, don't you know? It's where they're planning on fighting a big boss. And she says, hi, my name is Ray. And what's up? And he's like, oh, you play SLF2? And then forgets to ask her the username. Also, when I'm talking to a girl, I definitely will just check my email rather than complete that interaction.
I watched something different from you for some reason.
You expect that I wouldn't I wouldn't check my email?
What was this? This should have been like a dazzling sea of trees, right?
Dazzling sea of trees.
Yeah, they do, like, she sends him a friend request.
Oh, you know what happened, Metzger?
Did you watch episode 10?
I accidentally watched a bonus episode.
What do you mean a bonus? You mean you're
I accidentally watched a week ahead.
Next week's episode. Oh. My goodness.
Well, hey, a little bit of spoilers for next week. But listener, she's fighting the good fight. She finally tracks him down and says, hey, here's my friend request.
Yeah, so what ends up happening is there's this big the episode opens on a mysterious pirate ghost ship. And the Player Killer Guild is having a little meeting where they're talking about what's on the line should they choose to not catch Sanraku and squeeze the information out of him about the little bunny thing. And Pencil Knight is kind of like, I want to take down the Lycagon. Fuck off. And they have a little bit of a fight and she like leaves. And something, she might be in love with somebody or they might be trying to resurrect something. I don't know. Pencil Gon has her own motives.
There's like a weird tension there, right? But like a not healthy one. Pencil Gone is not the girl that you marry.
Pencil She's the Gone girl that the you girl. Cheat on your wife with.
Pencil Gone is the girl who breaks you, and then you become emotionally unstable and can't maintain a healthy relationship because
Pencil Gone is actually a super famous model who is all that you could ever want her to be until she logs into SLF and she becomes a total crazy bitch.
And honestly, it's surprising. That's canon. I know. It's surprising that more boys don't simp for her in game. Like, we don't get to see as much of her modeling stuff kind of play out actually in the SLF world because she looks exactly like her her real self.
I'm sure that she's not trying to be a model in the SLF world. I'm sure she's trying to escape from that.
And I mean, we get to see a little bit of that. Like, she's pretty. She's so perfect. And then she's just like, I am the Dark Lord. You shall serve me.
And then to catch back up with Sanraku, though, they're planning on going to this jungle area. And they get confronted by some members of
it's
that.
It's the Prism Forest, I believe.
Sure. They get confronted by some of those player killer guild members, and he totally shakes them. Like, he jukes them, convinces them that he's going to a different area. They go to meet him at the gate, and he's like, yeah, I slipped them. And he bumps into the big ol', what was it, attack killer? The girl, our girl, the one that we're rooting for. And Sunraku's like, how did he know? He saw through my ruse. This guy's top tier. And then she just sends him a friend request.
Yeah. And he's like, is that a girl? And then we get to see, the most wonderful thing about that episode for me is that we get to see this, like, attack knight or whatever is the freaking name.
Dancing
and doing the like little fingy tips together, like, like, oh, maybe, with the hands against the face, it's okay if maybe he does it. And we get to see a full suit of armor just wiggle like a worm for a second. Will he accept my friend request? Like, it is so objectively funny to see this monstrous knight act like an anime teen girl.
And she offers to carry him.
Yeah, which I felt like she should know better.
Yeah, but I mean, what else do you offer people?
I mean, honestly, just like, hey, I'll be your entourage. I'll hang out, watch you do shit.
I mean, he doesn't want that either. That's essentially power leveling.
Is it?
I mean,
having somebody that just cheers you on from the sidelines, like his little bunny?
I mean, no, she's an NPC.
Yeah.
She does shit.
Yeah, but like when he's like fighting things 1v1 and stuff like that, she's just on the sidelines.
Yeah, and that for the arena thing, and yes, she did cheer him on, but she was also like the quest giver.
That's kind of what I was imagining. Like just a big knight being like,
but then another
but also
if things got out of hand, she's definitely gonna step in and fix it.
Oh, she would instantly murk the giant monster, whatever it may be.
So yeah, there's no point, and like it's essentially a power level.
I don't know. I really want them to spend time together. I realize that kind of takes away from the story that the boy wants to have of like him conquering this world on his own, but also like I'm actually not here for him. I'm here for the girl that does judo.
Of course you are.
I'll say what I said. I feel what I feel. I will have no shame.
Yeah.
That's really it.
Yeah, no, it was a cute episode. I like it.
Yeah, I like Shangri-La Frontier. It's a very good episode. Very good show.
Very good show. Good show, Old Bean.
Indeed. And we hope that you thought we've had a good show. We hope that we didn't shit the cemetery for you this time.
Oh, man, I really shit the cemetery this time. Like, what?
I actually really like that as a phrase no one expects. We hope that you had fun with us this episode, and we hope that you check us out again next time. Hey, just a reminder, check us out at AnimeTourBus on Instagram, Anime_Bus on Twitter, and, now it's X, whatever the fuck that is, and then AnimeTourBus.wordpress.com. I also occasionally sometimes do episodes of Science Snacks if you want to check that out. It really, whenever my heart whims to make an episode, I do. It used to be a weekly or bi-weekly thing, and honestly, like, it's just as I feel the call, the beckon. And we hope that you feel the call and the beckon to check us out next week. Thanks for hanging with us, and until next time,
bye.